Welcome to the Daily Bolster. Each day, we welcome transformational executives to share their real-world experiences and practical advice about scaling yourself, your team, and your business.
Welcome to the Daily Bolster. I'm Matt Blumberg, co-founder and CEO of Bolster, and I'm here today with David Shapiro. David is the managing partner at Blue Ivy Ventures, which is part of the Alumni Ventures Network, and is on our cap table at Bolster as well. David, welcome to the Daily Bolster.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. So let me start by asking to just describe to everyone really quickly, what is Blue Ivy Ventures and what is Alumni Ventures and how do they relate?
Yeah, sure. Great place to start. It's complicated. So Blue Ivy Ventures is really a smaller venture firm and fund set up around the Yale entrepreneurial tech and venture ecosystem. So alums have access to venture capital and can invest in the fund, and the fund then invests in, it doesn't have to be Yale founders and CEOs, but it's often a common ground that we can reach out to and get to know companies. And so we sort of support both sides of that ecosystem. We are a part of the larger platform, Alumni Ventures. Alumni Ventures has grown quickly over the past few years and has become the most active venture fund in the country, actually. Now, we are a co-invest model, so we do a lot of deals alongside really the most established venture funds in the country, providing a really broad network and community and support. We have about 600 and something thousand alums, all part of the Alumni Ventures ecosystem. Not all investors, but they're all there as supporters and hopefully involved folks that, again, are interested in entrepreneurship, tech, and venture across about 18 different school ecosystems like Yale, including Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Berkeley. And we all have names that are, you know, again, affiliate funds, part of the Alumni Ventures platform.
Great. Well, one of the things I appreciate that is I know a lot of people don't know much about the firm, but one of the things I appreciate about the firm is it's sort of a network of networks, which is a little bit like Bolster. And you guys have been a great partner for us. All right. So here's our topic for today, David. You've invested just out of Blue Ivy alone in about 150 portfolio companies. You had a prior life in venture capital. So you've seen a lot over the years. What are the three pieces of founder advice that you sort of find yourself giving over and over? What are your top three?
Yeah. Okay. Now this will, so the first one in particular is not unique to founders where we back, at Blue Ivy Ventures, but just more broadly. And it's really just align your business with the proper source of capital, right? So there's often the technologic term impedance mismatch between these, I guess I'd say. So many founders sort of almost by default, or they default into the idea that they have to get going, they really need venture capital. I would say not all startups, and equally importantly, not all founders ought to be venture-backed or seek venture capital. That's not to say it's either, scale fast, and if I need to do that, I need VC money and be a unicorn, or I'm just running a lifestyle business. I almost put it, it's not that extreme. There's a sort of gradient in between, but it's just really wise to think that through, what kind of business yours can be, how scalable really can it be, what are the big markets, and then really what you want in terms of control and influence and longevity, right? So there's other sources of capital that maybe it's worth tapping into that may not require so much giving up so much control or timelines.
Yeah, that's a great one. There is definitely this myth just because of the size of the venture business that like you either have to get money from there or you're not sure where to get it. So that's a good one. Align your type of financing with the type of business you have. Okay, what's number two?
Number two. I would say I'm probably gonna. Well, I could almost pull a page out of your own book on this one, but it's about governance, right? Get proper corporate governance and robust board activities early on. I'll start with the negative red flag, right? It's the board's two family members as they're raising a seed round, or maybe it's the CEO and the CTO only. Certainly, at an early stage, it's hard to go get a board member. You may not want to too early, but as you get a seed round or outside capital involved. I just think a diverse, independent board almost always leads to healthy discourse and best practices. So, I'll add another dimension. So many things can go wrong in a startup. Boards ought to be sources of information, best practices, networks, sound advice. It's sort of why add one more variable to it when you actually have the opportunity to make it one less, right? So if you can control what you can control your board And when you get involved, when you create that, rather than have it be a negative signal, you can make it a positive one. So good governance, a dynamic, robust board engagement pretty early on, never bad.
Yeah, I'm obviously a fan of that as well. I think, you know, you use the word governance and a lot of CEOs automatically start yawning, but it really is important. Just think about it from the perspective of independent board members are very inexpensive sources of amazing strategic advice for you and your business. So,
yeah. In fact, maybe we use it in to your point, not capital G governance, but small g.
Right. All right. And what's your third most frequent FAQ?
Yeah. So this is, I'll state it, you know, focus on the problem, not just the solution. This is common. I think it's commonly said, but it's worth saying again. It's always great to really have the founders, the CEOs spend time living the problem, understanding all of it, all the dimensions, I guess, from the problem haver. A lot of times we're on the solution side and it's that technology, you know, seeking a market. I'll add a term here, which I got from a book. It's called the job to be done. So it's the JTBD. We use it a lot around here at Alumni Ventures, right? The job to be done. That came from a book called Competing Against Luck. So this is a plug. Competing Against Luck was written by Clay Christensen, who recently passed away. One of the great thinkers. I recommend this book actually as well to almost anyone who's building a product of any kind. Read Competing Against Luck. It's just a great framework, this job to be done. And it just tightens what is the problem that you're trying to solve. Not a vision, not an expansive thing, but what is the real tight problem? And I'll give you a quick example from the book. It always stands out. It was about milkshakes. It's chapter 3 or 4. I don't know. Anybody read it and you'll get there and you'll understand it. But it was like an ice cream shop and milkshake shop, and they innovated around job to be done thinking in this way. They tested better creaminess and richness and flavors, and none of that got foot traffic. None of it moved the needle. But as they looked at their data a little bit, they started noticing some trends. They noticed people would come in, parents in particular would come in with children after like late afternoon. And really what it was about was after practice, a parent would bring their children in or their child in for a little small treat, but this conflicted with, you know, dinner time. And so what they innovated, the way they innovated in their product has nothing to do with flavor or creaminess, but size. So they came out with a small size, a half size, and they called it something cool, but it was a half size. That way the parents could basically not feel guilty about spending time with their children and bringing them for a small treat after baseball practice, but not ruin their appetite for dinner. And more people found that helpful and better. And so great way to innovate, which sometimes has very little to do with, you know, what you think your, you know, the problem may be, right? Or what you're trying to address. So I thought it was pretty brilliant. So that's a little plug for the book.
I love the title. I haven't read that book. I've obviously read Innovator's Dilemma and a couple of his other ones, but Competing Against Luck sounds like something that is impossible to do. So I will look forward to picking that up myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I recommend it to you too. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. David, thank you so much for joining me today.
You got it. Can I sneak in one little request?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So you can cut it if you want. There's always advice. I love the Daily Bolster. I listen to them every day. CEOs giving great advice to CEOs. Venture folks who love to give advice to, you know, CEOs. I think it'd be great to have a little bit the other way. Like, how about some CEOs giving advice to venture people? It may be to listen a little more than talk. I don't know. But, you know, good advice to their board, right? So what's shareable almost back to venture investors? What's a good best practice? What's a bad practice, right? And maybe us venture folks can learn a little thing or two as well.
All right. I love that. I'm going to, I will put that on my list for some of my CEO episodes coming up.
All right.
Thanks, David. I appreciate you being here today. Good to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks, Matt. Take care.